It is Teaching Tuesday. It's time to check in with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministry. AnchorsAway.org is the place where you go to find the information, expand your mind, open up to the Christian worldview, and understand our place in the world as God has created it. Good morning.
Good morning. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Nancy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm so glad you're back. Oh, this is a great question because I think all of us have asked this question at one time or another. But man, this is our question of the day. Where is God when my expectations go unmet? So, Nancy, what does that question have to do with a first century betrothal? That's where we're entering the conversation today. What does one have to do with the other?
Well, you know, it's a good question. It's one that we all struggle with, of course, because my intentions or my expectations were so good on an issue or whatever. And then all of a sudden everything crumbles and you're saying, God, where are you, you know, in this? But I think the season, the Christmas season, when we think about Mary again, we talked about her last week and again this week, talk about intentions, talk about a vision that she had, that she was on an amazing journey as a young girl, met the perfect husband and you know, they got together and became engaged, and then boom, her world changed. But again, in the first century, engagement, it was an essential part of the marriage process, and it was as binding as marriage is. And the story of Mary and Joseph, when he wanted a divorce, trying to explain this, I think it's important as background to understand what a shock it was, not only for Mary to become pregnant with the Son of God, but also for Joseph. You know, and again, going back to the first century brothel, this whole thing where both parties wished, if they wanted to end an engagement, they would be required to get a divorce. That's how serious this engagement was, and it was all it was more of an arranged marriages back then, with the emphasis on getting married and having kids and all of this. But after the engagement, the groom would return to his father's house to prepare a place for him and his bride to live. And this process took a year or so. So when his work was done, when he had finished preparing his house to invite his bride to live in his father's house with him. You know, the bride didn't know the day or the hour that her husband-to-be would return. And that's the thing. I mean, you can imagine during that year never knowing when your future husband was going to come and get you, and it wasn't like he was going to tell you weeks in advance. It was announced with a trumpet and a call or a shout, and then he came to get her, and that was the beginning of the wedding week. And I think for the bride and her family, the more I read about this, they had tons of work to do, food to prepare, banquets. It lasted over a week, sometimes 10 days, so it was this ginormous party. And I say this only because as a 13 or 14 year old, as Mary was, planning this with her family must have been absolutely overwhelming. I don't think she had much time to do much else, to be honest with you.
Well, when I think about that, I mean, I know people right now who are in the process of planning weddings, and we take some time to do that. And there's a lot of things that go into that. But we've got to put ourselves in biblical time. We need that framework in our mind for when we read scripture. And so it does make you think about, you know, what was Mary planning? What was she arranging? What was her day-to-day like, figuring that out as she was leading up to an eventual wedding?
Yes, and she was totally consumed with this because it was a huge event. You know, when I can remember planning our wedding, and it was all consuming, and it lasted, what, 2 or 3 hours total. But this was ginormous, and it was the turning point of her life. It was the biggest event she'd ever be to, you know, and that's just how it was. But, you know, Mary was a normal girl. She knew that women back then were called to be married than to have kids. And you can imagine what she was thinking, you know, wondering if what marriage was like, wondering, you know, if she had done everything that needs to be done, wondering what marriage was like, what Joseph was going to be like, how many kids they'd have, where would they live, all the things that brides and probably grooms too think about was consuming her. And I think when we understand it from this perspective, from what it was like back in the first century for a young girl planning to get married, all was going good with her plans and everything so far was perfect. She was happy, content, you know, it was good. And then in a moment, her world changed. And along with all her plans of the upcoming wedding, those were all of a sudden discarded. God had other plans, and he interrupted his life, which appeared to be incredibly overwhelming, and it would be for anybody, especially Mary at this time. And when you think of this young girl focused on a wedding, focused on everything, and in a second, the angel Gabriel made a surprise visit to her and announced that God had found favor with her, and she was going to give birth to God's son. And then he explained, the Holy Spirit would come on you, and the power from the Most High would overshadow her, and she was going to give birth to God's son. In the wedding, it essentially, without saying so in scripture, it was off or temporarily suspended. And I think this is the thing. Where is God when my expectations go on men? And I think, where are we when God calls us to do something? Are we willing to divert from our pleasures, our plan, and go with God? And I think this is the issue. And at this point, when Mary was told, you're going to have God's baby, her response could have been, no, I'm busy. Don't you know I'm getting married? But it wasn't immediately. It was quick and it was straightforward. When she said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. And you know, the weight of that, not only disrupting or pushing back a wedding plans, but she knew full well that being pregnant before her wedding would separate her from families, from the women in her town. She would be ostracized. She would be alone. And to make matters worse, if you've read that story, if you're familiar with it, Joseph considered divorcing her because she had broken the Jewish law. Jewish law says you cannot have sex with your husband before marriage. There can be none of that. And all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. And in the midst of her broken dreams and plans for a wedding, God stepped in to call Mary on a vision whose outcomes changed the world forever. And, you know, God would forever review her as a woman of great obedience by human standards, you know, the impossible. So here is a young gal whose life was interrupted. And instead of saying, God, where are you? I can't believe you're a good God because you aren't letting me have my own way here. She said, no, I'm your servant. Let it be as you say. Willing. And I think that's, Steve, that's really the essence, is that to be a little bit more open when God calls us, maybe not by an angel, but clearly to do things that are out of her comfort zone, and she was willing to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I try to keep in mind too, Nancy, when it feels like my life is being derailed. And it's frustrating because we do make plans and we charge ahead. And so often we make plans without considering what, you know, God may have in store for us. We don't even ask. We just make plans. And then we get very frustrated when they get derailed. But I try to remind myself, okay, did I ask God before I made these plans? Did I include him in these plans? Are these plans really something that God would have me follow through on? And then if they get derailed, I try to remind myself to, you know, to stop and think, is this derailment him? Is he protecting me by derailing what is going on here? Or is this just a thing that doesn't even really matter in the long run? But we do have to stop here and ask the obvious of our own lives. What happens in our lives when we are interrupted from the path that we're living? What's going on? What do we need to consider?
Yeah, and I think too, Kelly, this whole idea of in the morning, time with the Lord, you know, most people don't do that because they say they're too busy, but when we're in tune with God, we will hear his voice. You know, it's kind of like the scripture, I'm being a shepherd, the sheep will hear my voice. And they will know me. And I think so often we tend to have such a superficial faith that we just figure that God wants us to be happy. And that's it. And that's our journey in life. And it's a great reminder to us that God is in control of all things. And what if God, and when he does, divert our journey with the news that you have cancer or a family member dies, or you lose your job, or your best friend turns away from you, and we think this is random. Now we're blaming God for something that he's saying, I allow this stuff to happen to draw you closer to me, you know? And he wants us to know that we're not alone, that he's always with us. And in these places that we experience his presence, his comfort, and his truth. God's grace is in good times, in hard times as well. And I think here in this question and with Christmas and all, we have to understand that God calls us and is in the hard places, much more than the good places. That he's there so we can grow and learn and be an example. Because when we have faith, a true faith in God, we know that wherever he calls us, in the hard and then the easier, he's there. And I love Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And, you know, I often think of, you know, the wise men who followed the star. It was a king. And that's why they went to Herod to ask, hey, where is the Son of God? And it's like Herod didn't even know he was born. And it's like, how could that be? And how is it that God could allow his son to be born in a filthy, dirty stable? And the question is, because he's one of us. He didn't come to be wealthy and to rule that way. He came to serve and be served. So it's just a beautiful story of an adjustment that we have to make in real life for the paths that we're on, and that God is so present in the hard times as he was with Mary, and he is with Joseph as well.
That is so true. This is so good this morning, Nancy, and we all need to hear it. Now, I know we're about to wrap things up, but we're going to have you stand by for just a minute because we need to take a short break. And as you're listening this morning, friends, I know that it's probably a hectic morning for you. You might be about to get out of the car. If you can just hang with us, we do need to take a short break, but we are going to come right back with Nancy's final point in this, our biblical worldview question of the week again this morning. If you're just joining us, essentially is this, where is God when my expectations go unmet? And we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Nancy's final point in this, so don't go anywhere.
It's Teaching Tuesday on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
Thank you for your monthly support of Moody Radio. If you're providing $30 or more each month, please take advantage of your 50% discount off retail prices from Moody Publishers. Go to moodybooks.org. Moodybooks.org.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right, no fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great healthcare. Find out more. Call now. 877-58-BIBLE. That's 877-58-BIBLE. 877-58-BIBLE.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the word to life.
Well, but today it's Mornings with Kelly, Steve, Randy, and Nancy. We got a lot going on today. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking with Jim Stredemeyer and special guest this morning. You know, Randy Aulis, have you seen any of the four caterpillars of the apocalypse out there?
Not yet, but I'll be looking as I go out the door here in a minute.
All right, yeah, you got a big day ahead of you, so we'll let you get on your way here. So, but what can we expect in our weather?
Well, I tell you, today not bad. We may actually see a couple of minutes of sunshine here, perhaps this morning. No guarantees the way it's going, but it's been a very cloudy month, and I believe December is typically the cloudiest month of the year here across the area. A little bit warmer. Going to call it for high temperature of 48 degrees. Rain comes in late tonight. I think it'll be okay this evening. A low temperature at 44. Cloudy, mild tomorrow. Periods of rain. Could be a couple of thunderstorms. No, Kelly. Severe weather not anticipated. Rain tomorrow may end for a while in the morning, then come back in with round number two tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. Hoping for a good inch or more of rainfall. We really need it, too. High temperature near 50. Thursday, not bad. The rain gets out early, becoming partly sunny. Mid-40s for a high. Friday, Saturday, breezy, colder. Going to stick in a chance of snow flurries each day. No accumulation. Mid-30s for a high on Friday. And next week, I think two chances for a white Christmas. The first one comes in late Monday, Tuesday, some snow showers, perhaps some accumulation, minor accumulation, then maybe a little better chance of accumulating snow Thursday, Friday time span of next week as a little bigger system comes in. So I think it's a long ways off and anything can happen, but you know me, I'm a snow lover. I'm going to find the snow for a white Christmas somewhere. And so I think next week we have two opportunities here at getting a white Christmas.
Tua.
Tua. Tua. Oh, I just heard a noise. What was that? Oh, that was my shovel in the garage. It fell down. Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything at your place.
That probably doesn't. It means I got a dent in the car or a scratch.
You better live right, or your rain gauge is going to just naturally implode or something. I'm starting to be concerned.
Yeah, if it falls to the ground, I know something's going on. Maybe a big storm coming.
Things are happening, Randy. I'm just telling you.
They really are. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that. All right. I'm done, guys. I'm done.
Well,
yes,
Randy,
you are.
You have an incredible day, and we'll check in with you tomorrow morning, all right?
Yep. See you guys later. Have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
See you, Randy.
Don't go anywhere. Our biblical worldview question of the week is coming up next on Mornings with Kelly and Steve.
Thank you for your monthly support of Moody Radio. If you're providing $30 or more each month, please take advantage of your 50% discount off retail prices from Moody Publishers. Go to moodybooks.org. Moodybooks.org.
It is 7:24 right now as we continue our morning. We are getting through our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Nancy, this is a great conversation. We started off, in case you missed the very, very beginning of this, the overarching theme here is, where is God when my expectations go unmet? There's a problem in that whole sentence right there. Begins with an E. It's called expectations. And we usually have them too high, too great. And then we end up wondering, where is God in the midst of my circumstance? Yeah. So, you know, here's the thing. We're talking about the wedding and how Mary would have been preparing to be betrothed to Joseph in the midst of this. Curveball comes along. Mary is pregnant now with the King of Kings. And as you said, you know, there is not only a place where he would be born as King of Kings, that is, it's not of a palace, it's not of, you know, this esteem, but it is meekness where he comes. So why didn't God provide a room, a safe, secure place, right? Something that has a great view, perhaps, you know, maybe near a nice forest or some trees with good continental breakfast in the morning. Why not that instead of what Jesus actually got?
You know, and we wonder about that because we think for some reason we're entitled to those places ourselves. And when we get a smelly old, you know, cave, which is the manger, it was not those pretty wooden things. It was a dark cave. I've been down there when I was visiting Bethlehem a couple years ago, and I was shocked that it wasn't that beautiful, organized manger. It's dark, and it's cold, and it's damp, and it's all of those things. Why on earth? And with Mary, with the visit of the angel, and then all of a sudden, she's in this cave by herself because Joseph couldn't be there during the birth of Christ because of Jewish law. So she was essentially by herself. No doubt the Holy Spirit was there. We know the angels were there, but still this dark, lonely place. And we wonder, do I deserve better, God? Why am I here? And God says, because I'm here with you. I'm here with you, Mary, right in this cave. We're here together. And that's, I think, you know, God sent his son to be one of us, ordinary, hardworking guy who experienced the harshness of life, starting with being born in the filthy animal manger, you know. But God the Father wanted Jesus to learn what it meant to be human himself, to love and to suffer. And so that Jesus would understand us, because he's been there. He lived a humble life. He was kind and friendly. He was a relational man who taught and listened to all those who came to him. He knows what it feels like to be rejected because his closest friends abandoned him. And he gave us the greatest gift that's ever been given from a humble perspective. He died for the forgiveness of our sins. And how did he do it? I'll tell you how he did it. He was beaten. He was whipped, spat upon, insulted, mocked, hung on a tree, and died for every single one of us who didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it, but he took it on because he loves us and wants us to live eternally with him in perfect peace. I think our banner should be really Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that's the banner. I mean that the Lord is the strength of my life, no matter where I am. And I just want to close with this. Max Lucado wrote this, and he says this: God still looks for the Josephs today, men and women who believe that God's not through with his world, common people who serve an uncommon God. Will you be that kind of person? Will you serve even though you don't understand? No. The Bethlehem sky is not the first place to hear the pleadings of an honest heart, nor the last. And perhaps God didn't answer every question for Joseph, but he answered the most important one. Are you still with me, God? And the answer came through the first cries of God's child. Yes, Joseph, I'm here with you. And in our wanderings, there are questions we never need to ask. Does God care? Do we matter to God? Does he still love his children? And through the small face of the stable-born baby, he says, yes. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. Yes, death has been defeated. And yes, God entered your world. Emmanuel, God is with us.
I think that overall, every single one of us can relate to those times in our lives where we have wondered and asked, you know, where is God in the midst of my suffering? We feel alone. We feel isolated. And there are times where we forget. Yes. Hey, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Hey, he has overcome. Christ was sent to conquer death, and he has done that. And that is a tremendous reminder for ourselves when we get into that pit of despair and we start that whole self-pitying, right?
Yeah.
What about my expectation? Well, man, God has expectations for us. He created us and with a plan and a purpose, and we fall short of that. So,
We do, and I think if you look at your expectations in one hand and you hold heaven in the other, your expectations are going to pale. You do nothing in the long run.
So this has been really great, Nancy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a amazing time of year, and I just think for those that are alone, who won't have family over to celebrate, you've got Christ with you.
Yeah.
And he's with you. And he's real. And he suffered like you. And he's our comforter through the Holy Spirit. So we need to invite people in to celebrate this Christmas who are out there. But even being alone, maybe for the first time as a widow or whatever that looks like, you're not alone. You simply are not alone.
Yeah.
And God understands loneliness, that's for sure.
You can hear this discussion again, by the way, Nancy's Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. Where is God when my expectations go unmet? You can hear this again if you'll check in a little bit later today on our resources tab at kellyandsteve.org. And check out Nancy's website too, anchorsaway.org, for more about biblical worldview teaching, how you can become a certified teacher of biblical worldview, and how you can get your kids involved in learning about biblical worldview so they have that solid foundation to stand on, because their faith is going to be tested by this world, and they need to learn how to not only understand, they need to learn to understand what it is that they do believe and how to defend what they believe so that they are not drawn away from it when this world does test them, and it will.
That's right. You know, the other thing too, you can text the word podcast to 800-969-9467, and you can then link, you know, you can find us anywhere you subscribe to your podcast. Just look for Mornings with Kelly and Steve, whether that's on Apple or at the Google Play Store or wherever you get your podcasting. Just go ahead, look for it, and you can take that with you and have it anytime and hear these replays at your leisure. So that's what's happening. Nancy, thank you so much. I know we are not going to be speaking with you before Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. We celebrate the birth of Christ together and with your family. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you. Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas
For
to
sure.
you.
Love you.
Absolutely. Love you guys.